So two Sundays ago, as I was sharing, and I looked down to my right, and Dacia Rhodes had said something while I was speaking. I think I asked if you would give me 5 more minutes or 10 more minutes because it was getting late. And she said, yes, go ahead. And at that moment, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, you see that fire down there in her spirit? He said, you give her an outlet for that. She has a word for my family, my church. And so I sent her a text and I said something along those lines. I can't remember what. And so I asked Dacia if she would be willing to share. And she said, absolutely. She is so excited. And so I said to her, I'm not going to announce it. I said, because not everybody, I said, but some family members have a tendency when Pastor Rob's not going to speak, they don't show up. Because I'm like Jesus. Right? Like, I can almost not stand here. The glory's so great sometimes. It's amazing. Like, whew. And so I didn't share it. And so Dacia's going to come, and she is going to share with you what the Lord has laid upon her hearts. And I would just encourage you. I know you know. You know, Jesus could not do any miracles, much miracles, in his hometown. You ever think about that? Why his hometown? Because it was just Joseph's boy. It was Jesus. We saw him growing up. We saw when he had snot all over his face. When he was just a normal kid. We saw him do everything else we do. And so that familiarity bred contempt. And so I encourage you. The Spirit of God is going to speak through our sister. And so have ears to hear what it is the Spirit is saying. Amen? Amen. So make Dacia feel welcome as she comes. You got a woo-hoo.
Woohoo! I feel like a woohoo, so let me just talk to you just for a minute before I get into anything. I have to do this first so I can calm myself down, because I have such a stirring in my spirit that I feel like a tornado. And when I say that, I feel like I'm up here doing zzz like this, but it's all day long, every day, okay? And I do need an outlet because I'm afraid that sometimes the people in my house think I'm nuts. So hopefully some of this stuff will make some sense today. And I didn't have a title for this because there are so many things that I want to touch on that I feel like I would need like to do a series. So bear with me because I'm going to be kind of going in a couple of different directions, but I hope that it's still very meaningful to you. When we were singing, though, I'm going to do this because this is what I feel like I'm supposed to do right now. Can everybody stand? I'm going to talk to everybody, and I don't know if this is for somebody specifically, but what I want you to realize is if you feel bound in any way or there's chains. When we were singing, I saw chains break and I heard them clinking to the ground. So today, if you feel bound in any way, I know this year has been absolutely outrageous, but there's a reason for all of this year. 2021, I'm going to tell you right now with full confidence, is going to be something you've never experienced before in your entire life. In your lifetime, you've never seen anything like what's going to happen. I'm telling you that because I know it. I know it in my knower. And in my heart. So I'm just going to pray right now, because what I feel like we need to do is surrender. Because if we don't surrender ourselves, you're not going to be able to welcome that in. And when you surrender, I want you to think about a couple of things. One of them is, if you don't have a complete and full relationship with the Holy Spirit, you need to get one, because that's going to be the avenue that you're going to be shown many, many, many things, whether it's with words, visions, or just a feeling. So if you could just bear with me while I pray for you. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity and allowing me to do this, because I honestly felt like if I didn't, I was probably going to explode. Everybody here, you have known them before they were even put together as a single cell. Before they even were breathing air, you knew everybody. You knew their names. You knew every hair on their head, and you knew the destiny and the road that they were going to take. And you also know that there is a giant door right now that this group of people and people all over the globe, the United States and the nation, the world, we're going to take that battering ram and we're going to bash that door open, because the world's not seen anything like this. This is the army that you have been preparing that's going to make a change on this earth. This is the ecclesia. This is us. We're in this building. We're out on the streets. You're going to move people out, the vagabonds and lowly people you're going to use for your glory. So I don't want anybody thinking that, don't let anybody pass through and think that they're not worthy, because he's known them from the time they were birthed. So I pray blessings over everyone here, that they are willing to listen to the words that are coming out, and that they know that when they leave this place, please, we're going to restore hope today, because there is so much fear that we cannot allow that fear to interrupt what we are being given. We're going to turn that fear around and we're going to use it. So I want you to feel right now, I want you to feel empowered and confident, everybody in here. I don't want you to be afraid of anything, because that we are not supposed to be bound by fear. So I'm lifting that off of you right now. Those chains are coming off and they're clanking. If there's shame and embarrassment for any reason, those chains are coming off and they're clanking to the ground. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Lord. You can sit down now. Thank you. There's no other way for me to explain this other than I have been, as I look back now on the months of us being quarantined, I was kind of being taken over in a way, I guess. And I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to do with it. And then we started doing the Ecclesia series. And things started to come forward where I was realizing and understanding why I'm feeling the way that I was feeling. And I'm going to be 40 in May, and I feel like I finally am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I said whenever I was praying that we are going to come out of the caves, and the remnant, when you think of a remnant, sometimes I think you think of like a little tiny piece of something. We are the remnant, but the remnant is all over the world, and there's lots and lots of us. It's not just here in this building. And I wanted to talk to you first about restoration. So I'm going to tell you a story that I actually heard somebody else tell, and I thought that is a great story to let everybody know about, because it's extremely interesting, and you'll see why I'm telling you in a minute. So there is a gentleman named Stephen Wynn, and he is a millionaire. He was in the hotel industry, and he's an older gentleman, and during the course of his life, his family instilled a great love of art, which I can relate with. And he had all this artwork, real pieces from actual artists, and one of the paintings was The Dream by Pablo Picasso. He had the actual painting, and it's worth millions of dollars. However, Stephen Wynn was plagued with a disease that affected his eyes, his vision. So he thought, what am I supposed to do with all this? Because I can't enjoy it the way that I should. And he felt that somebody out there would have an appreciation for his artwork, Pablo Picasso's artwork, and he couldn't really see it. So he got in touch with a friend of his whose name is also Steve. So if you get confused, I apologize, but you'll see. And I do have notes. I don't always have notes, but I have to have notes for today. So I am going to be reading some of this. He had Stephen, the other Stephen, his last name is Cohen, over to his home to look at the artwork to see if maybe Stephen Cohen wanted to purchase the artwork from Stephen Wynn. And there was a group of people there with him. And whenever they were looking at the artwork, it was a fairly large painting. And because of Stephen Wynn's eye issue, he had spun around and kind of lost his balance, and his elbow went right through the canvas. Now, this is a really big deal, you know, and the other guy's there to buy the thing. So when his elbow went through and they heard that noise, I mean, it was like traumatic for everybody there. But Stephen Wynn stood up and he said, nobody was hurt, because it's a big painting. But the painting was ruined, obviously. And how could you fix something? This is a real piece of artwork. It's not like it's a duplicate. This was the real deal. Well, he called his friend. This is after the party was over. They had to think about and contemplate what they were going to do. He called Steve Cohen and said, do you still want to purchase the painting? It's okay if you don't. I'll just keep it. But I will tell you that if you purchase it, you're going to have to take it to an art restoration company and pay X amount of dollars to have it fixed. And it may not look the way that it did at first. So Stephen Cohen said, you know what, I'm not comfortable with doing that. I'm not going to bother with it. So he said, no, we're just going to cancel the sale and you can keep the painting. So Steve Wynn called the art restoration company himself. The company sat down with Steve Wynn and they said, we have good news. After looking at the painting, it can be restored. It's going to be a painstakingly intricate process. First, we have to go in with surgical needles and stitch every fiber of the painting back together. It's going to take lots of time, and you're going to have to be very patient. We're also going to have to research the actual pigments. Now, pigments are usually like a real fine powder that Pablo Picasso used in the painting. We have to use the pigments that he used, and this is going to be a big process because we have to find the actual pigments in order to restore it. This is what these people do this for a living all the time, okay? And you're going to have to be patient, and this is going to take a lot of time. But when it's finished, and you look at this masterpiece called The Dream, unless you were to walk behind the painting, in other words, the things that happened in the background. Thanks. And then and truly then, would you be able to see the backstory of the work of restoration that was completed? So, that painting was when it was finished, from the front of the painting, a human eye would have no idea, not a clue, that there was a giant gaping hole in that painting. Unless you walked around to the back. And in the back, you would be able to see the backstory. It did take time. It was a process. When they called them in to look at the painting, they were in complete and utter shock because they could not get over that it was exactly the way that you would have never known that there was a hole. Unless you walked around the back. And that's where you could see where the story took place. Now you can think about how that applies to right now and what's happening in the world today. And even in your own lives, maybe, you know, there was all this backstory and that was all mended. It's still there, but you'd never know it because we're opening these new doors. Little did Stephen Wynn know that after that painting was restored, it was worth more than when it was or the original, because, here's the best part, the art of restoration is worth more than the original. So the fixing and the correcting made that worth more. Okay? So it was considered an art in itself. We are walking out a transition process right now. The church is changing. We no longer come through the doors and think about what, oh, Lord, what can you do for me today? I want to feel touched today. Me, me, me. I. We have to stop that because now we are moving into a new era and we have to be a team and we're working for everybody, not just ourselves. So I want you to be reminded that things aren't always as they appear. So you have to make sure you're giving everybody an opportunity and everybody a chance, because the master is restoring and putting together the situations. And we can't let fear, especially what happened in this past year, have an effect on what's supposed to happen in the future. We're stepping into a new place, and we don't want fear to interfere with that. I'm going to read you a simple scripture that I feel like we should all be reminded of. It's John 20:21. He said, and my version's probably a little bit different, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." So we have to realize that we're vessels, and everything that he's giving us to do, if we're obedient and do it, that's how we get the authority that we're supposed to have, okay? You have to be confident in your authority and not timid or afraid, because that's the only way that we're going to be creating this harvest. And I've said that word, I think every time that I've been given the opportunity to come up here, that's been my word since March, is harvest, because it's a harvest of souls. And I don't want you to think that it's just like one thing. There's going to be healings. There's going to be miracles. It's a harvest. Those things are going to happen just because it's not the Bible times right now. We have to realize that those things are still happening and they can still take place. It can happen in here right now. We have to have that type of a mindset. And like I told you earlier, there's so many things that I want to touch on. So just bear with me a little bit, okay? One of the ways that we have to accept responsibility is through prayer. And prayer is way more than, thank you, Jesus, for this food. Amen. Prayer is something that you need to really find a time, whether it's in your car. And of course, he hears all of our prayers. And I don't want to discount that by saying that just doing prayers in your head, like saying, "Oh Lord, protect us in the car today," is not enough, because it is. But I'm talking about the prayers that are going to cause change. Those are more intense type of prayers. So we have to have a fierceness with those prayers, and time needs to be spent praying for the things that we want to see take place. For example, we have to be able to realize that he is giving us this knowledge to use, and the prayers that we're given are to be prayed so that the works that he has planned, we're to do those. That's, in case you ever wondered why we're here, it's not to just sit in church. It's to do way more than that. We're here because we're supposed to be a turning point. We're supposed to change lives and bring people and more people and more people and more people and more souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of this earth, why we're here. And he did not put us here, contrary to some beliefs, to squander and say, we can't do anything else. I mean, it's going downhill fast. It's going right down the commode. There's nothing we can do about it. And then you just give up? No. We are not doing that. My mindset is, and I'm thinking of that picture of that Xena or that warrior woman. I feel like that warrior woman sometimes, because we are to be doing that. When I think of authority, I think of power. So the power and authority, but there is a difference between the two things. We have to make sure that everything is coming from him. Give me just a second so I can get back to my... I'm going off the cuff here, which I figured was going to happen, because that's just what happens. I have a tablet full of notes here, and for some reason, I don't get nervous whenever I stumble a little bit up here, because I think it's a little bit funny, because that's just what happens. There's no way I'd be able to come up here and be perfect. Sorry. So as much as I'm trying to do that, you have to bear with me just for a second here. I'm trying to find the golden nuggets. Okay, Here we go. And then I'm going to read a couple things to you out of a book that I have here. So we need to be persistent and consistent in prayer if we want to see change. We have the authority and power to lift the veil. We're to overturn dominion and turn things back over to God. We must use our weapons to fight. So one of those is prayer. Be aggressive in the spirit. Pray and release light to attain victory. Carry the presence of the glory of God into battle. Let God arise because he already won. But we have to help get everything there. He did not quit. We do not and will not quit. And this is a quote that I've grown to love. He is never late. When one is led, it means that there is one that follows. So I'm going to read a couple of pages to you. Whoops, out of my book. This is a wonderful book. It's called Intercessory Prayer by our friend, Dutch Sheets. And this is right out of the book, okay? Power never was and never will be the issue between God and Satan. Authority was the issue. Jesus did not come to get back any power, nor to remove Satan's power. He came to regain the authority that Adam had lost. Satan still has some powers. He prowls around like a roaring lion. That's in 1 Peter 5:8. And contrary to what some teach, he still has teeth and fiery darts. But what he lost was his right and his authority. And that's what we have to remember, because he has no power. I don't care what he thinks he has none. So you can stand there and say, bye, and he has to flee because he has no power. So authority is the issue. Power does the work, but authority controls the power. This truth is illustrated in the battle between Israel and Amalek in Exodus 17:8-13. In the passage, this is when Moses went to the top of the hill with his staff, okay? And Joshua led the army on the battlefield below. And as long as Moses held his rod up, Israel prevailed. When he lowered it, the opposition prevailed. Now, it sounds silly, and sometimes stuff that God tells us to do doesn't make sense. We have to make sure we listen, okay? If not, I don't know what will happen there. It's not good. The victory was not decided by the strength or power of Israel's army. If this had been the case, they would not have faltered when the staff was lowered. Nor was it a morale thing. They weren't watching Moses for inspiration while in hand-to-hand conflict. An unseen battle, this is important, in the heavenlies actually decided the outcome of the battlefield. And when the rod, which represented the rule and authority of God, was lifted by the authorized leader, that's us, of Israel, Joshua and the army prevailed. In other words, it wasn't the power on the battlefield, though it was necessary, that was the deciding factor, but the authority that was on that mountain. The authority is the key issue. Power never has been. So although Satan has power, we have to realize that we have the authority. We have the keys to create change. And that brings me to another little word that I think is extremely important, and that word is persevere. We've all been there where we had to do this. It might have been a bad experience. It might have been not so bad experience, but we've all had to push through something. So this is kind of a cute little story about perseverance, and it's about two frogs who fell into a can of cream, or so it has been told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use? Said number one. It's plain no help's around. Goodbye, my friend. Goodbye, sad world. And weeping still he drowned. But number two of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise. The while he licked his creamy lips and blinked his creamy eyes, I'll swim at least a while, he thought, or so it has been said. It really wouldn't help the world if one more frog were dead. An hour or more he kicked and swam. Not once he stopped to mutter. Then hopped out from the island he had made of fresh churned butter. That is the importance of perseverance and endurance. So those two little frogs, one gave up so easy. That's what I saw happen when this virus came out. And I'm going to admit to you, I was a little crazy at first too. But then a light bulb went off and I went from one extreme to the next. We gave up our common sense like in an instant. There was no perseverance or endurance. It was just like, okay, we'll just do this, 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 and this, and this. Before we even thought about anything. Silly. But we all know that with prayer, and I'm going to use an old-fashioned word right now, travail, there's long-suffering. And he did not quit. So we are not to quit. If we would quit, that would be a huge failure. And we are doomed. And that's a scary word, but it's truth. I have another scripture. It's Jeremiah 1:10. Did I tell you that one? Okay. And I'm going to read what I have here, but it might be different up there. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and break down, to destroy and overthrow, and to build and to plant. We are, and I'm just going to repeat myself again in case you didn't hear me the first couple hundred times. We have the authority and we're the vessels, and we have to make sure that we persevere. Sometimes his way doesn't make sense, but we still have to listen. Just like when Moses had the rod and was told to strike the rock. Now, if I were in the woods today and a voice came down and said, you need to hit that rock three times so water comes out, I probably would do it because I know better. But at the time, that sounds silly, but he still did it and water did come forth. So, and that was a prophetic action, okay? We are his voice. And now I'm going to read Isaiah 55:11. You guys are fast. My word always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So his words do not return void. Our words don't return void. So every prayer that we pray is doing something in the heavenlies, okay? And in that spiritual realm. And in turn, we're going to be on top of things. We're going to be on top, and we're going to prevail over all of this junk. I don't know what else to call it that's going on in the world today. And there's always been things going on, but this was a milestone of a year. I've never in my lifetime have seen anything like it. And right now I feel like a lot of us, even believers, have lost hope because you're watching the news and the media, and I was never one of these people that cared a whole lot about politics, and I'm embarrassed to say that right now. My mom is like a radical, and I think that's why I thought, oh, she has lost her mind. But you know what? There's probably some of you saying, whoa, she has lost her mind. And I do feel like I lost my mind, but for the better. I am not the same person I was in last year. And that does cause a lot of emotions to rise up in me because I feel like my whole life, this is what I was supposed to do. So don't give up anything because it takes a long time. Those children that might have gone wayward that still aren't back home, guess what? They're coming back. They're coming back. This is when they're going to come back. That door is open now. So please don't get discouraged. Even if you have those ones that you see a little tiny spark in and they're still going the wrong direction, they're coming back. That is truth. Thank you, Lord. This scripture that I'm going to read right now, I didn't give you because I was not sure, but I know that I have to say it. It's one of my favorites, and it's extremely important right now. And this is how I'll conclude here, and then we'll show the other. This I'm going to read both of these. Micah 2:13 is one of my favorites, but I'm going to read the scripture before this. I'm going to read 2:12 and 13. I will surely assemble all of you. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep in the fold, like a flock in the midst of the pasture. They will be noisy with men. Now I want you to pay close attention to this. This is Micah 2:13. The breaker goes up before them. They break out. They pass through the gate and go out by it. So their king goes on before them and the Lord at their head. The Lord is the breaker, my dear friends. He's using us to break out. And I don't mean cracking open a door and peeking around the corner. I'm talking everybody is going to bust through and break out with his lead. We're following his lead. I have something special that it reached down into my soul, and it's a very simple video. It's called Silence and Fury, but before I show, or we show it, to conclude, the breaker is going to go up before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Try to remember that. For this next year, it doesn't matter what happens. We know what's going to happen, but it doesn't matter what happens as long as our feet are securely placed where they're supposed to go, and we listen and we're obedient. And please, I don't know why this keeps coming in my head, but I have to say it again. With the doubting of yourself, you don't have to be a special person to have these gifts or this anointing, or this authority. This is already ours, okay? We are the body, we are the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are to work for him. That is our duty now. So if you didn't realize that, it is our duty now. Please don't be timid and think, oh, I can't do that. I'm not worthy of that. 10 years ago, I did this, and I can't forgive myself for it. Or 50 years ago, I did this and I can't let that go. Stop putting those things on a throne. Those are done. Whether it's a death that happened, maybe it was your mom or your dad and you just can't let go of them because you weren't ready to say goodbye. It wasn't time for you to let them go. That wasn't fair. That wasn't fair because you weren't ready. But by keeping them up on that throne, you're not letting the Lord come through you. You have to let that go to move forward. You have to let the pains of the past go to move forward. These aren't my words, these are his. You have to let the pains of the past go to move forward. Stop being stubborn and holding on to those things because all that is doing is giving a hindrance to you. Those doors are going to stay closed if you're not going to let me open them. Your past is irrelevant. Your past is irrelevant. Your future holds the glory of my presence, and that's going to reach the earth. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Before I show this video, I just want you to understand that that little tiny baby, that innocent child, that Mary carried, that stirred the shepherds, that little tiny baby is now a king. He's our king. He holds all power and authority. He held it then when he was laying on that prickly straw as he wailed out. And he still has the same power now. It does not change. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Daish. So proud of you, who you are becoming. She said she wasn't the same person last year as she is this year. And there's a reason for that. It's because a few things. God said, I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. If you seek me, you'll what? You'll find me. And when you seek God, he, through that process, he gives you revelation. He opens up your eyes to things that are him. And then he also opens your eyes, gives you his heart, his eyesight, his hearing. And so that's nothing you get by hearing the words of man, although it can dangle a carrot in front of you so that you can seek yourself, seek for yourself. And so I think it was John Wesley, or they asked him what his calling was, and he said, well, God set me on fire, and I just go and speak and let people watch me burn. And so you get that hunger to see that fire. And I just, I'm so amazed at how gracious and merciful God is. And I just can't even imagine why anyone would not desire to know who they are in Christ. Paul had all this list of things that he was so proud of, and he held as trophies on his mantelpiece. And all of a sudden, he gets a glimmer of Christ, and everything switches. And he says, what was to my profit, I now consider loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. That means everything that we hold dear that this earth can give, which are good things, but they cannot compare to being able to know Jesus, to be intimate with God as he shares his heart and his passion and his will. And this is the last thing I want to say, and then we'll pray and go. But this morning, I think it was about 4 or 5 a.m., I was thinking about a portion of scripture that I've known for almost my whole Christian life, but it just brought on meaning. Because identity is so important in what you heard today. To know who you are. To know who God said you are. See, we can tell one another who we are, and that's okay. But when God tells you who you are, and he speaks those words, his word doesn't return void. And we begin to believe them, and we wrestle with them at first. I remember one day I was texting with Daisha, and I was telling her things that God was showing me. And I prefaced it by saying, I just want you to know, by me saying this, I think I might be a narcissistic, what I said, narcissistic something. Because I'm wrestling with who God is telling me I am. And I'm like, this sounds too good to be true. It might be me saying it. But anyway, this morning, there's a portion of scripture in Ephesians. Are you still by the computer, Jess? Do you know how to bring up a scripture? If not, no big deal. I can just read it. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, Ephesians is called a lofty book because Paul talks about a lot of lofty things. Old Testament tabernacle, there was not a seat for the priests to sit down. Old Testament tabernacle, there was not a chair in the entire tabernacle because nobody sits down in God's temple except Him, because it's a throne. And nobody sits on the throne except for God. That's why there's no seat there. But then there was one man, God-man, who God said, sit down at my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. And Jesus sat in the temple, the real temple, the heavenly temple. And why did he sit? Because he's God. Ephesians 2:6. Now in Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God our Father, who has blessed us with how many blessings in the heavenly places? How many? All, right? So he has blessed us with all blessings in spiritual places. What does that mean? This is your identity. Would you have walked into God's temple and said, excuse me, you're in my chair? But this is who God says you are. Of course you wouldn't say that. He'd go, get out. Get out of my house. Go play. And he raised us up. Ephesians 2:6, right? But he raised us up with him and seated us with him where? God is telling us who we are. Talk about ecclesia. Talk about transformation. Talk about, what's her name, Zora? Zena. When you hear and you see and you are transformed by the reality that God has placed you in Christ, seated next to him. Why would God seat you on a throne next to him? So you could play a ukulele. So like Jesus said, so you can come to church and pray prayers of bless me, bless me, bless me. He sat you right next to him in Christ so you could with him rule and reign and declare and decree his will upon the earth. That's who you are. That's who you are, Simba. That's who you are. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for what we've heard and what we've seen today. Thank you so much for just touching Dacia's life. Thank you for transforming her and giving her a greater understanding of her identity. And Father, you're doing that in so many others. We know that. Lord, as we just shared and heard that you put us at your right hand as your ecclesia, as your ruling and governing legislative body on earth. And as the scripture that Dacia showed you, you put your word in our mouth so that it would not return void. Your word goes forth and it will accomplish what you desire, but it comes through our mouth. Thank you, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would just continue to open our eyes to this reality. May our spirit man just be set free, to truly appreciate and know our place in you, for the sole purpose that we would make your name great on earth as it is in heaven. And so that is our prayer, Father, as we close and we go into this new year. Father, not our will be done, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we acknowledge that Jesus is the name above every name. We acknowledge he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that everyone will bow to him in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And may all the nations be your inheritance, Lord. And the kings of the earth will rejoice when they hear the words of your mouth, your wisdom, your knowledge, your truth, as it brings healing to the nations. May we eat from the tree of life freely and abundantly. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen, Ecclesia. Go get it.